Thanks for downloading the Wave Church podcast. We hope this message inspires and brings you into a deeper relationship with God. Enjoy the message.
Come on, everybody, let's give Jesus some praise in this place. Come on, He is worthy to be praised. God, we love You. We honor You. We bless You. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Please, before you have a seat, I know. Pastor Stephen, Pastor Sharon, I wanted to say thank you so much for giving me the honor of being here on Veterans Day weekend to speak to your men. And I never run out of things to say about you. I love the way you honor your own staff. You brag about them a lot, not in a bad way, in an incredible way. You talk about your spiritual sons. You talk about your campus pastors. And I love that about you guys. I love that. And I love how you have a stable of young men and young women, but you still honor every single generation in this church. If I was looking for a church, I'd come to this church, but I'm not. But if I was, and I would say yes, it would be probably one of the best places in America to pastor in Virginia Beach because of the military community. And I love the military just like you, but you taught me how to honor them. You taught me how to do these days and do them big and do them very, very well. And this is how I learned to do this in Hawaii as well. Thank you so much for all you guys do, the staff, the board. You guys mean a lot. And I want to say one more thing. Thank you for blessing mine and Lisa's lives by being in our life. My wife loves you. Sharon, she says she wishes she was here. And I want to thank you for having me here. It's been a dream come true, to be honest. So thank you so much. Can we thank your pastors, everybody? Thank you. Come on. Come on. Amen. You may be seated. So thank you so much, worship team. Incredible. This morning, being here and on this incredible pulpit, which Pastor Steve will explain this later on, I had the best time at the men's conference yesterday and Friday night. Met some amazing people. We learned how to go from beast mode to priest mode. Come on, somebody. We learned how to get our stuff back, and we got our stuff back, and I'm really excited that I'm here. I'm preaching a message today, dovetailing into your incredible series on wise guys and on wisdom, and how wisdom is so important that you and I would ask God for wisdom. You know, I was thinking about this. I just thought about it. It just came to my mind. The person that asked for wisdom, he could have asked for anything else. His name was Solomon. Remember? God showed up in a dream when Solomon was a young king, and he shows up to David's son. David is no longer there. Solomon is now the king, and in a dream slash vision, God asks Solomon, you can have anything you want. And Solomon, out of all the things that he could have chose, from riches, from wealth, he chose one thing, and he chose wisdom. And as a result of God seeing him choose wisdom, God gave him everything else. How good is God? That's the way God is. You know, you give it up to him, it's not about you. He gives you even more than you could ever ask for or even imagine, in Jesus' name. Before I continue on, I just need to show you some context about Hawaii, my church, and my family. So I want to show you this big picture of my family on the beach in Hawaii. This was at my parents' anniversary right there on the beach. You see that? That's my dad in the middle. We call him the Big Kahuna. His name is John Kai. My dad's Hawaiian, Chinese, Norwegian, Scottish, Cherokee, Indian. I think that's what he is. And then my mom next to him is my mom, Esther. My mom's half Filipino, half Italian. That's a crazy combo, right? Half Filipino, half Italian. You know how that happens? World War II. That's how that one happened. Filipino nurse meets Italian soldier from America, and there you go. That's my grandparents. Anyway, and I want to show you a picture of my wife, Lisa. This is my wife, Lisa, and she's my beautiful wife of 26 years, and it has been the best 26 years of Lisa's life. I'm just saying. Just putting it out there. I can't lie. And it's been the best 26 years of my life. And then I just want to go ahead and just so you get the context, this is who we are. We've been pastoring our church for 18 years. I was a youth pastor before that. But before that, I promise you, I was headed for the military. I was going to be in the Air Force. I wanted to be in the Air Force. I know a lot of you guys are Navy. I wanted to go in the Air Force because I wanted to be a pilot. This is before Top Gun. Don't think that I was trying to be trendy or anything like that. And I wanted to be there, but I had a detour, and this is where I am today, which I believe was God's plan all along. You know, it's interesting because we make decisions in our life. And throughout our life, we ask God, I need wisdom on this decision. I need wisdom. And it's really important that you ask for wisdom because I've heard it said that we make 300 decisions a day, about 300 decisions a day. What am I going to eat? What am I wearing today? You know what I'm talking about? All of those decisions. But they say 5% of all decisions that we make are actually very, very important decisions. They're life-altering decisions. Should I respond to that email in the fashion that I feel like right now at this moment? No. Those kinds of decisions. Should I eat that? Would that help me? Can I live longer if I do this? Those are the five most important decisions. And that's why it's important that we don't make decisions when we're emotional people, when we get emotional. So that's why one of my good friends, Pastor Wayne Cordero, all the way out in Hawaii, he told me this. He said, Mike, when I make decisions, I make sure that my heart is right with God. I start to already write in certain scenarios, if I face those scenarios with a good, clean heart, this is my answer. So when I'm angry or upset or disappointed, I'll go back to the answers on why I wrote them down when my heart was right, and I do it that way every single time. I said, that's wisdom if I ever heard some. Somebody say amen. Now, we all make great decisions. I think some of the best decisions I made in my life, number one, was giving my life to Jesus. Number two was marrying that beautiful Chinese woman named Lisa. You know what I mean? That was the best decision that I ever made. And I'm telling you, I promise you that you're going to face times and moments that what seem to be ordinary, run-of-the-mill, garden-variety decisions, and then there are going to be moments that you really need to hear from God that you're making the right decisions. I don't have this in my notes, but I want to just give you three things, and I've got two other points. So basically, I want to give you three things that are not in my notes. Here's the first one. When we make decisions, number one, oftentimes people make decisions without any counsel, so no counsel. No counsel. The Bible says that the foolish man makes decisions all by himself. That's no counsel. That's the kind of person sometimes that I used to be, and I can be like that every once in a while, that I think I got this. I got this one. I got this, so I don't talk to Lisa. Bad move. You know what I'm talking about? I need to include Lisa in every decision. Every decision that I make, I need to include my wife in those decisions. So oftentimes we make decisions with no counsel. The Bible tells us, Proverbs 16, verse 9, that a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. So we want God to direct our steps because it's a sure-footed path if God directs our steps. So instead of me making all my decisions all by myself, I'm the king, these are my decisions, pride is coming for a fall, before a fall, you know what I'm talking about? And I'm headed for a fall if I don't receive counsel. The second kind of counsel is often wrong counsel. So number one, we go no counsel. Number two, we do wrong counsel. We get the wrong counsel from the wrong people. You know what I'm talking about? And often I've heard it said that we are the average of the five people that we hang out with. Did you hear that? The five people, we're the average. So think about the circle that you're in, right? Think about that. Oftentimes we get wrong counsel by who we are running with. So you better make sure that we get the right counsel from the right people. Somebody say amen. There's a man that followed after his father's footsteps. He was the wisest man that ever lived on this earth next to Jesus, and he was Solomon. Solomon had a son named Rehoboam, and Rehoboam was taking over for his dad when Solomon died. But Rehoboam made some foolish decisions that split the country of Israel in two because of his circle of influence that told him that, no, you don't have to listen to those old guys. You do the thing that you want to do. So you got wrong counsel. So you got to get the, number three, right counsel. So you get no counsel, you get wrong counsel, but now you got to get the right counsel. Does that sound good? Yeah. Awesome. Everybody good? Okay, great. So now, let me give you my filter. And I have a filter when I make decisions because filters are very, very important. I think number one, the best filter that I could use, and I want to give this to you, is number one, you got to ask yourself, does it honor God? The decision that I'm about to make right now, does it honor God? Can I go there? Is it going to honor God? Can I be there? Is it going to honor God? Can I watch that? Will it honor God? Can I drink that? Is it going to honor God? You got to be careful. Is it going to honor God? And because Daniel was placed in the same position, we all know Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were all placed in that same position, that they did not want to eat what the king had prepared for them because they didn't want to defile their bodies by eating something that was not against, that was against their Hebrew customs and their Hebrew diet. And so the Bible tells us in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, but Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. So he made a really tough decision. He made a good decision, but a tough one. And he had to stand by the decision because that decision actually could have gotten him killed to decide, I'm not eating King Nebuchadnezzar's food, right? And Nebuchadnezzar, you didn't mess with that king. And Daniel and his friends didn't do it because they wanted to honor God. You know, anytime you honor God, God will honor you. Every time that you honor the Lord will often honor, every time he will honor you. He may not honor you in public, but he can honor you in private as well. He will honor you in ways that you never thought that he could, and God will honor you every time you take the high road. Come on, somebody, right? Because the world is taking the low road. The road is going that way. We take the high road every single time. Then when we choose not to speak ill about somebody else, we honor God. When we choose not to entertain gossip and listen and be an ear to somebody who's gossiping, when we know that they should be telling that person all by themselves, we honor God when we decide not to listen to it. We honor God even when we say, hey, Matthew 18:15, you better go back and go talk to them yourself. Don't tell me about it. We honor God that way. We honor God in a lot of different ways, not just by what we eat, not just the way that we handle ourselves, but the way that we bless other people. I think it's really important. See, if you got no other filter under your decision-making, this would be the only one. I mean, this would be the best one right here. Honor God. Honor God. Does it honor God? Number two, most important one. Number two, can I trust God? Can I trust God? That's the second one. Number one, can I honor God? Number two, can I trust him? Is his word true? Does he say he's going to do what he says because I did what he told me to do? Because when we are honoring God with our decision-making processes, we also have to understand that there are going to be times that you're going to face some judgment because of some persecution as a result of it. Standing up in your classroom as a student and standing for righteousness. Being on the job when you know it's wrong and you say something. I'm not talking about being a whistleblower, but you're saying something. Look, if it goes against my beliefs, I don't believe I can do this. You are often going to be placed in a position that you're going to be in trouble and placed in a persecuted position because of honoring God. And so you got to ask yourself, can I trust God? The other thing about trusting God is, God, is your word true? God, are you just? Because that's what we really want to know. God, are you just? Are you a just and good God? You know, when I was younger and I came to Christ at the age of 21, those are some of the questions I had. I said, God, can I trust you with my heart? Can I trust you? Here's why. Because in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the Bible says this, the heart is deceitful above all else. All things, desperately wicked, who can know it? So never trust your heart, to be honest with you. Oftentimes we've heard advice. Parents have given us advice, or maybe I've handed out, maybe I don't think I've done it, but I wouldn't never tell my daughters to trust their heart. Never, especially when you're 15. Don't trust your heart. And even when they're older, my youngest is 14. I've got three daughters. Oh, God only gave me girls, you know, and I'm blessed. I think God chooses special people just to have girls. I'm just saying. And I wish I had a son, but I got girls. I got spiritual sons, but, you know, I wanted physical, but I didn't get them. But anyway, I'll take the girls. Anyway, I'm blessed because of my girls. God has given me some really good girls. They're all awesome. I kept all of them. You know what I'm saying? No, I'm just kidding. Anyway. This is because they got a great mom. Lisa's amazing. Lisa's an incredible mom. A little overbearing, but then anyway, moving right along. I'm just opening up my life just a little bit. It's a little inappropriate, but that's okay. We just had a men's conference, and we let it all out. Anyway, but I always tell my daughters, I said, if you don't make a heart decision, don't. Yeah, love's part of it, no doubt about it. But at the end of the day, you got to use wisdom. You got to look at track record. You got to look at savings account. I'm just saying, you got to. You don't want to inherit debt. Mm-mm. No, you want to wait till they get out of debt. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm paying for the wedding, y'all. You know what I'm talking about? I'm paying for that wedding. Anyway, gosh, don't put this on the internet, okay? Thank you. It's on. Okay, let's move on. I love my, you don't even know which daughter I'm talking about. So anyway, moving right along. Never make decisions with your heart. You ever buy a car you shouldn't have bought? Yeah. You ever made a purchase like, oh, you regret that purchase? You ever been in that place? Absolutely, because we did it with our heart, and I've been there before. So the great theologian from Journey, his name was Steve Perry, he talked about the foolish heart. How many of you know that? He said, your heart is foolish. Foolish heart, hear me calling, stop before you start falling. I'm a lyrical poet and a DJ all in one and a pastor. Think about this for a moment. Because when we start making decisions based upon the heart and not based upon the word, when we make decisions in a vacuum all by ourselves and don't get wise counsel, we get ourselves into trouble. Yeah. You know, I was in some trouble a long time ago. Long time ago, I was in trouble. And you know what? I really believe that decisions, some of the most important decisions you will ever make in your life, some of them are going to happen right here, right now, this day, this weekend, right here on Sunday. As a matter of fact, people who have made the toughest decisions, they're in this book. Yeah. God didn't say, I'm going to put you in a position to put you in the book. Right. He wrote about them because they stood firm in the decision-making process. Let me tell you, Moses. Moses chose a life of significance to face Pharaoh 10 different times to tell him, let my people go. Abraham decided that he would follow God's lead and leave Terah and even leave his father's home. And he became the father of a nation because that's what he decided. A housewife named Jael or Yael, no matter where you come from, Jael decided she would take a tent peg and put it in the temple of a commander that snuck into her tent. That's what she did. David, he showed great restraint when he chose not to kill King Saul twice when he had an opportunity. Jonathan decided to follow David, and Jonathan actually decided that he would go up a hill and take a mountain just to get some movement going on because a man next to him says, do whatever's in your heart. Naaman decided to trust God, even though it seemed like take two aspirin and call me in the morning, and went to the Jordan River with his leprosy and dunked several times and came out like a baby. Elisha decided to leave his life from running the family ranch in order to serve God instead. Esther decided that she would put her beautiful life on the line and not and approach the king when she wasn't supposed to, and God honored her, and the nation of Israel lived longer. Boy, man, let me tell you, this boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish, he showed up, decided to give the disciples his lunch, and he's in the Bible. Come on. Jonah decided whether he needed to preach or not preach. Joseph decided to forgive or not forgive. Jesus decided, do I die or not die? Come on, everybody. Decisions are absolutely important. Come on, what filters are you using? Let's use good filters. When I was 17 and I graduated from high school, you normally graduate at 18, but my parents put me in preschool early because I was really advanced for a 4-year-old. Anyway, moving right along. I'm just kidding. They put me in preschool early. I graduated at the age of 17. The goal was always to go to the University of Hawaii, go to college, go to some university, but Hawaii was what I picked. And when I went to the University of Hawaii, I was like a little kid, man. I'm telling you, like, showed up in a big city. My small town that I loved, that I grew up in, I loved it. I was 17. My town had 2,000 people. My graduating class had 120. It's kind of a hick town for Hawaii, if you know what I'm talking about. We were like kind of, we were out there. They made fun of my town. Anyway, moving right along. Said cousins got married in my town. I don't know. Anyway, but I think they did. And I ended up going to University of Hawaii, but when I got there, I was lost. I was absolutely lost. I didn't know the streets of Honolulu. I didn't get the whole thing, and I literally, within like months, I was just off the path that I knew my mom and dad wanted me on. By then, I ended up having my very first girlfriend, for a really real girlfriend, because growing up, I was short, so the girls didn't like me. And then I go back to my class reunion now, 30 years later. I go, how you like me now? Too late. Anyway, moving right along. I fell in love. And I was lost. When I was 19, I had to take responsibility that I was being a father. 19, my mom was crushed. She had goals for her son. So did my dad. But they stood by me, and they did. They did really, really well. My daughter was born, Courtney. By the time I was 21, her mom left, didn't want to come back, didn't want to be a family anymore. I wasn't an angel, but we both were lost. I stayed and owned the responsibility of raising that little girl because I wanted to. She kept me alive, to be honest with you, because I thought about it several times. Is life worth living? Would people miss me? And some of you have thought that. And I want you to know you would be missed. Yeah. People will be devastated if you're not here. Whatever you're going through right now, you'll get through. Yeah. God will get you through it. And your life is important, and you need to be here. If I was not here, where would my church be? Where would thousands of people from Hawaii be right now? Would they? I don't know. Where would my wife? I would not even have this wife that I have, and or these 3 daughters would not be alive. So I was suicidal, and I told the men I was also homicidal because I was so angry. I want to show you the picture of what I was like at the age of 20 with my daughter. And that's me. And skinny, lost weight, hopeless in my eyes. Took that picture to archive my life in case I wasn't around. My friends kept telling me, man, you got to come to church. I said, I don't want to go to church. You got to come to church. I want to go to church. Kind of come to church. I said, get off my back. I don't want to go to church. You guys are weird. Anyway, I don't want to go to church. And he goes, come on, man, you got to come to church. I said, come on, Mike, you got nothing else. I said, okay. He goes, next week, come to church. I don't want to go to church. Come to church. I don't want to go to church. He goes, okay, you come to church, I'll buy you breakfast. I said, I'm in. I said, breakfast, come on. Come on, Big Slam, Grand Slam, Denny's, or whatever it was, right? And I said, I told the guys, don't ever underestimate bribing somebody with bacon. I'm telling you right now, just bacon will bring people to church. And I got overdressed for my first day at church. I got my daughter dressed up in her Sunday best, and I was pulled up in the car with my friend Brandon, and my heart was just pounding because I thought that people would know all about me. I thought, like, I told Brandon, I said, bro, if I go to your church, man, the statues are going to fall, the stained glass is going to crack, and walls are coming down. He goes, bro, you're not that good. Don't even worry about it. It'll stay. And I walked in, and I couldn't believe it because I was nervous, but I felt all this incredible love from these people. People were hugging all over the place. They took my daughter this way. She cried. I went that way. I wanted to cry because of them. And they sat me down in the second row. Come on. Who sits the new person in the second row? That's what I want to know. What usher did that? Nobody knew, right? You're not new in the second row, right? Anyway, I was worried because I thought proximity, somebody would know all about my sins the closer I got. I thought the pastor knew all about my life, I promise you. I thought that he preached that message just for me. Somehow, one of my friends told him, this is Mike, he's coming to church, this is all the things he's done, this is what he's going through right now. And I promise you, I thought he knew all about me. But they had me before the message. I don't even remember what the message was about. They had me at worship. Because when I walked in and I saw the words on the overhead projector, old school, everybody. You know what I'm talking about? Transparencies, old school. And I saw the words, and I come from a singing background. A singing background, yes. I was a once famous karaoke singer. I'm just playing. But I did a lot of karaoke back in my day. Hey, don't hate. Come on, appreciate. You know what I'm saying? We call it karaoke. And back then, you'd give a dollar. You pick a song, you give a dollar, and they would give you the song, and you pay the dollar. Back then, they gave me the dollar. Anyway, so Unchained Melody, that was my deal. You know what I mean? That was my jam. Elton John, yeah. Daniel, my brother. Anyway, I walked in, and I saw the worship. And you know what? I called them as a non-believer walking in who's about to believe. I said, those are love ballads, love songs to God. I never saw that before. I heard a hymn. That wasn't a hymn. That was a love song to God. And it had me from the moment that I heard worship. God, I love you. I need you. I honor you. I praise you. And that day, this 21-year-old young man walked into that church, and there I was, and I responded, and I lifted up my hand. The most important decision I ever have made in my entire life, and I've made some big ones, but this was the most important decision that I needed to make. Because why? Because it wasn't like I had other options. There's only, because there's God or no God, people. It was either surrender your life to Jesus or live without him. It is either go to heaven or eternal separation from him in a place called hell. And it does exist. And so I said, I'm going to make the most important decision I can ever make in my life. God, I know you. I know. And so that moment when they said, if you want to surrender your life to Jesus, I raised my hand, guys. And I'm telling you right now, my life that day from the age of 21, I was praying for a miracle. And the miracle didn't work out the way that I wanted it to, but God did a miracle in me. And maybe some of you are here today. I don't know how you walked in. But maybe you're still praying for a miracle. But God's the biggest miracle God will do is the miracle that he's going to do in you. The same power that he raised Jesus Christ from the dead is the same power that lives inside of me. It lives inside of you if you've given your life to Jesus. So today I want to give you that opportunity to make the most important decision you will ever make in your life. And after that comes another important one. Number one, the first one is this. Are you willing to surrender your life to Jesus? The most important decision you will ever make. And number two, do you want to live for him? Because you can still surrender and not live for him. You got to live for him. Yeah. There's nothing like living for him. If you let go of your life, you get it. But you hang on to it, you actually lose it. So would you close your eyes and bow your heads with me here at this moment? Very important decision that you're about to face right now and online. And no matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done, no matter what philosophy you had about God or what religion you might have practiced, or maybe you had no religion at all, atheist, agnostic, no matter what, God still has been working in your life to bring you to this valley of decision, this place of decision right now. And you've made some incredible decisions in your life. A lot of them have gone well and some may have not, but man, the most important decision that you will make is what will you do with Jesus? Because that will be asked of us at the end of this age, the end of our lives. So from the front to the back, left, right, overflow rooms, parent, children rooms, online audience, anybody here today that you say, Mike, that's what I want. I want Jesus. And if I'm going to give you an opportunity to raise your hand. And when you raise your hand, I'm not asking if you were brought up in church. I'm asking you, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And when you raise your hand, I'm going to go one, two, three. When I clap at the count of three, here's what's going to happen. He's going to come into your heart. He's going to change you from the inside out. He's going to assure you of a place in heaven that when you die, beyond a shadow of a doubt, your last breath on earth will be your first breath in heaven, and you will be with him for all eternity. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he will remove your sins from you. He'll wash you clean as if you had never sinned before, and your name will be written in the book of life. And when you die, you're going to be there. But man, while you are here, he's got a miracle that he wants to do in you, but he wants to work through you as well. He wants to take whatever great life, whatever life you've got going on right now, he wants to make it even better. As a matter of fact, if you let him, he'll change it forever. You never know what God can do with your life. So if that's you, if you're ready to make that decision, that today's the day. Some people go, Mike, I'll come back next week. And let me go get some things fixed. Let me go work some things out that I know some loose ends I need to do. I don't feel like I can give my life to Jesus. You can give your life to Jesus right now. Chances are you may never come back. Here's a chance, right here, right now. No matter where you've been, what you've done, what's going on in your life? He loves you so much that he brought you to this place of decision because you have to choose. He will never force himself on you. He is waiting for you because he loves you. He loves you so much. He made the ultimate sacrifice for us. That you. Get ready. One, get ready to raise your hand. One, he will never let you down. Two, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Get ready. Come on. Here we go. One, two, three. Come on. Hands up. Hands up. Hands up. Anybody here? Say, Mike, that's what I want. Keep it up. Keep it up. Don't put it down. One, two, three, four, five. God bless you. Right there. Six and seven. Right there. And eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21 right there. 22 right there. Come on. Keep them up. Keep them up. Keep them up. 23 right there. I got you. Right in the middle. 24, top middle. 25, 26, 27, 28. 28, 28, 28, keep them up. 29 right there, 29. Anybody else? And Mike, that's what I want. 30 right there, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 35. Come on, did I miss anybody? Did I miss anybody? Wave it at me. Wave it at me. Say, Mike, you missed me. You missed me. I got you right there. 36 and 37, I got you. Awesome. Anybody else? Online, there's a way to respond online. 38 right there, 39 right there. God bless you. Come on, it's never too late. This is my last call, but it's never too late. Are you sure that you're right with God? Are you sure? If you're not sure, raise it right now. Let's get it right, right here, right now, before we leave, in the name of Jesus. 40. 40, I got you. Got you. You can put your hands down. Hallelujah. I want everybody to repeat this prayer after me. Would you please say Jesus. Jesus. Everybody, Jesus. Jesus. Today, I surrender. And give you my life. Thank you. For dying on the cross, shedding your blood that washes my sins as white as snow. I also thank you that when I die, I'll be in your presence for all eternity. But while I'm here, be my strength for today, my hope for tomorrow, my ever-present help in my time of need. You're my God. I'm your child. The old is past. The new is begun. I'm a new creation. In Christ Jesus, created to serve you and to bring you glory. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, come on, everybody, just praise God. Congratulations. So good.
Thanks for listening to the Wave Church Podcast. If you made a decision today to follow Jesus, please go to wavechurch.com and click on I Made a Decision so we can help you on your way to know God in a deeper way. And if you want to visit one of our locations, the website can help you locate the campus near you, or you can live stream our services. Have a great day.